down every day. God does it for me because I'm not an intellectual. I'm not smart. But God always breaks everything down for me, and obviously for Lori too, giving her testimony. God always breaks everything down into the simplest so you can get it. Because people in general, you know, all people really, God has made the wisdom of this world foolishness compared to the preaching of the gospel. The gospel is foolishness to the world, but to us, man, it's life unto life. If you don't receive the gospel, you only have death. If you receive the gospel, you have life. So every day I go over and over again the gospel. Only God is good at all times. You have never done good. You never will do good. All you're doing is you're sowing and reaping all your life. If you eat bad, then you naturally sow things. If you sow seed into the ground, it produces whatever you sowed. Lee and I have been doing it. Leah, well, she's not here right now, but we're doing a garden, and we planted tomatoes and all kinds of stuff. We planted flowers, every seed after its kind. If we planted carrots, sure enough, carrots came up. We planted tomatoes, sure enough, the tomatoes came up. So there was no surprises. It was a surprise that they lived. That part, I do agree with that. So I'm going to preach that. I'm going to teach out of the book of Galatians. Galatians is my book. I read it every day. So I read other things too, but I like to read the book of Galatians. Chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, you were called unto liberty, only use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. So even though you're free, he's exhorting the Galatians not to use their freedom as an opportunity to sow to their flesh. Now later on in chapter 6, he says those who sow to the Spirit will reap eternal life, and those that sow to the flesh will reap corruption. It's always that way. So when you worship God, you're sowing, or you're praying in tongues, like Lori was talking about. And I do every day. I'm sowing to my spirit, and I don't understand it all, like she was saying. You can't figure it out or whatever, but God knows. That's his program. God knows everything, and we know nothing. That's just the way I look at it. That way my life is very simple. I just assume every day when I wake up that I don't know anything, and God knows everything. That makes my life very simple. So then he has to direct, and he has to direct my path. He's obligated. I mean, I don't know if he's obligated, but he's going to do it because I'm not trusting in myself. I'm not trusting in my leaders. I'm not trusting in, you know, my wife, my kids. I'm not trusting in myself. I don't trust anybody. But that's not bad. I mean, you know what I mean. I don't trust them in the fact that they're going to save me or help me or make me happy. My happiness is derivative of what God has done. God's happy all the time. All the time. He's never sad. He's never depressed. He never thinks, oh my, it's not going to work out. It always works out. I was telling Leah this morning, I was going, you know what? I was thinking about, because we watched that movie, I Can Only Imagine. And I was thinking about heaven. Heaven is going to be way, way better. Eternal life is going to be way, way better than you think. You can't even imagine what it's going to be like. I think that's a verse in the song even. But I was thinking about everything we are stressed about, everything we worry about, everything that we are concerned about in this life is nothing. It's nothing. Because in the end, everything will work out perfect. And when you see Jesus, you'll be exactly like him, and because you'll see him as he is. And your sanctification will be complete. And your faith will be over. It'll be the end of your faith. The Bible says that Jesus is the end of your faith. He's the end of the law. He's the end of it. Jesus ends everything. He lived his life for you. He exchanged his life I mean, you exchanged your life for his life when you got saved. So now you have a new life. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things are become new again. So your life is hid with Christ and God because Jesus is your life. You have no other life. There's no other life apart from Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So you have no other life apart from Jesus. I don't care what your job is. I don't care if you're a mom or you're a wife. Those are gifts that God's given you, but you're still, your life is only in him. And he's the only one that can do anything, which really is awesome. That's why it's good, like Lori said, to pray in tongues, because you can't do everything. I'll give you a testimony. When I first got saved, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit really quick after I got saved because I was Catholic. Catholics just go for it. I don't know what it is about Catholics. When I was a Catholic, I was a good Catholic, even though I was corrupt as all get up. But Catholics can be corrupt because you can go to confession. It's awesome. It's a good deal. So anyway, I got baptized. These Baptist seminary students led me to the Lord, and they were Baptists. These guys were Baptists, real staunch Baptists. And they led me to the Lord. I got saved at Robert. I don't know if you know who the Basses are. They're, you know, downtown. I used to work security for them, and I worked at Robert Bass's house. This is before they moved out there. It was under construction, and so it's boring. You know, you're just basically protecting property, not really people. So it was a really boring job. And so I read my Bible all the time after I got saved, but I wasn't a Christian at the time. So Roger Roenfeld, a friend of mine, gave me a Bible, and he said, "Hey, you need to read this Bible." I said, "Okay." You know, I was Catholic. I'd never read the Bible before. So I read it. I didn't understand a word it said. And he was witnessing to me all the time. I could never figure it out. Being a Catholic, you don't understand grace, you know. You got to work at it. You do understand grace in the sense you have to earn it. But anyway, so I never could figure it out. Finally, I did. You know, the Lord did his work, and I got saved. And they were always witnessing this other guy, a friend of mine. His name was Steve. And everybody was witnessing him. He would laugh at you and make fun of you for witnessing to him. And I never witnessed to him. I was just a baby Christian. But I really wanted to, because the way that they were going about it, I thought was wrong. Even the way I was kind of warm, but I was so ready, it didn't matter. You could have said anything, I would have gotten saved. So Roger, they were witnessing this guy, and all the seminary students witnessed this guy, and he would just laugh, and he would just, you know, cuss them out and stuff. So I thought, man, I got an idea. Like Lori said, I got an idea. I go, what if I prayed in tongues for him for a whole hour every day, and then right before I go talk to him, God, I didn't even know how to pray, really, because I was just a new Christian. So anyway, I prayed in tongues for a whole hour before I knew I was going to see him at this certain time, because we would rotate our shifts. We would rotate our positions. One would go to Sid's house, one would go to Robert's house, and we would all just rotate. I wonder if I should be telling you all this. But anyway, I prayed that whole time, and I didn't know how to witness people because, like I said, I was just a brand new Christian. I didn't know anything. So I went over to him. I kind of sputtered through the plan of salvation. I didn't even know. It was awful. But he looked at me and he goes, "Yeah, I'll do that." But just to prove the point, like Lori was saying, you know, you can't figure God out. You just got to do things his way. You can never figure him out. There's no formula, there's no theology, there's no nothing. There's just Jesus, and he does everything. 2 weeks ago, I was driving to San Antonio, and I was talking to the Lord, and I was saying, "God, you know, I really like coffee." I know there's a lot of people here like this. Now, there's no condemnation for this, because this is just me and the Lord. Everything's permissible, but not all things are expedient. So I was saying, "God, I just don't like this. I like coffee a lot, really a lot. I mean, I drink a lot of coffee," because I'm always real honest with God. I just tell him what I think. I I said, you know, I really like coffee a lot. I'm probably addicted to it even because I drink a lot. And I thought, and I was telling the Lord, I was going, you know, but I don't like the side effects. You know, I got to go to the bathroom all the time. I'm dehydrated all the time. I just don't like the side effects of it. I just don't like it. I like coffee, but I don't like the side effects. So the Lord told me that I was going to quit drinking coffee, which I didn't mind. I mean, I did. Like I said, I was really tired of the side effects of it. This has to do with the message because of sowing and reaping. So I thought, well, okay, God, I'm not going to drink coffee anymore. So at that moment, I didn't. So it's been like 2 weeks now. My wife is still very skeptical. So am I, because I don't trust in myself. I don't know if I'll quit. I don't know if I'll drink coffee again or not. I don't know. But for now, I haven't. And man, I'm telling you, I am excited. Not because of the, it's just I feel so much better. And even my wife goes, man, even your skin, my skin was getting all dried and cracked and all that because I was dehydrated all the time because coffee dehydrates you, I guess. So anyway, I didn't have a headache, which was a miracle. I couldn't believe it. I was anticipating it this whole time. And even talked to Anna that day, and she goes, well, it'll probably be the second day or the third day you'll have a bad headache. Didn't you say that? I think you did say something like that. But nothing ever came, so I was like, wow, that's awesome. So anyway, all the side effects of it left, and I feel really good. So I was like, wow. But that's just because I obeyed God. It's not because, you know, I figured it out, or it's not even that I obeyed God. It's just that he did it. I don't even know how he did it. Because if people that know me know I drink a lot of coffee, and I don't drink weak, wimpy coffee, I drink strong coffee. So anyway, that's just a thing that, so because I was sowing to my flesh, and then I was reaping something. And we always, and so in the Bible, there's only one way to sow. I know a lot of preachers preach a lot about sowing and reaping and all this stuff, but you either sow to your flesh or you sow to your spirit. There's only two kinds of, you have to break things down like that. That makes it very simple. So if something's flesh, it's flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. When you were born in this world, your bios, your natural life, you were sowed into this world naturally. But you're not going to leave the world that way. You're going to leave the world when this immortality will put on, this mortality will put on immortality. This corruption will put on incorruption. When Jesus was sowed. It says, Jesus said he had to die. He said he had to be buried. Once a seed goes into the ground, it bears much fruit. And how much fruit has Jesus bared? I mean, you know, people getting saved and all the fruit in your life and growing and being sanctified and all the things that God has done. It's because of Jesus. He sowed, you're reaping. He sowed, you reap. What a deal. He did all the dying. He did all the suffering. He did all that stuff, and then you're reaping it. You're reaping all that. All, my whole life is only because my family, my marriage, everything I've reaped in this world, I'm telling you, is just Jesus. It's nothing I did. If you knew me before I became a Christian, you'd think, oh my gosh, it's a miracle. And it was. And the same in your life. That's why we all love Jesus. It says, Peter, it says, talked about the promises, and he says, so you can be a partaker of his divine nature. And we love him even though you haven't seen him. And we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Isn't that your life? That's your life right now. Amen. You love Jesus, but don't think, I know people that are thinking right now, well, I don't know if I love him, but you do. Exceedingly. Because he's forgiven you tons. Those who are forgiven much, love much. And you have been forgiven a lot. Because you hated God, you despised his son, and all those things. And you don't even know you did that, but you did it. And you do it all the time. That's why God loves you. But God loves you. God only loves sinners. He only loves sinners. And that's That's the way it is. I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. So my life, I was lost, and now I'm saved. I was found, like the song says. You were lost, and now you're found. Since you're found, you have a new life. And your life is hid with Christ and God. As a matter of fact, Jesus is your life. He'll always be your life. Even when you get to heaven, you won't be apart from Jesus. It'll be Jesus. He's the cornerstone. He's the rock. He's the foundation. He's everything. And when you get to heaven, you'll see him. Well, you'll see him before then when he comes back, but you'll be just like him. And all your goodness, all your holiness, there will be, the Bible says there will be no more wickedness, nothing that offends anymore. Because we'll see Jesus, we'll be just like him, spirit, soul, and body. But it'll be in him. It won't be you being good all of a sudden, like I cleaned you up or something. Although he does do that, but you know what I mean. It'll be derivative of his holiness, his goodness, his life. Because Jesus is the whole life. He's the life of everybody. And then he will reconcile all things back to God. God will be, God will be all in all. And there'll be no more wickedness. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no. The Bible says you'll look and see, well, what happened? Where'd the wicked, all the wicked people go? Well, they're gone. There's no such thing as that anymore. There's only righteousness and holiness, goodness, and it's all derivative of God. Until then, we're being sanctified. Your life is, you're being sanctified every day. That means you're being cleansed. Now, me giving up coffee is really not that impressive because I didn't do it. If I would have done it, I'd be drinking coffee today. Or if I'd tried to give up whatever sin we have. I'm not saying that was a sin. I'm just saying that's what God wanted me to do. But there's things that are in our lives that hinder us, are distractions from knowing God. We busy our lives with stuff. We busy our lives with making money, with, you know, having a lot of friends, getting on Facebook, whatever you do. And we just busy our lives so much that we are distracted from the simplicity of just knowing Jesus. And I've always wanted that scripture has always been a real dear to me, is, you know, that we can live a quiet and peaceful life. And that's what people want. But they have to strive to get it. But you don't have to strive to get it, because Jesus will give you that for free. Just trust him, love him. He'll give you that life. In my life, Lee and I, since we're getting older, not old. I got rebuked the other day for saying old. We're not getting old. We're getting older. You know, we want to simplify our life. I don't want a lot of distractions, even though I have tons. Man, my life is more complicated now than it's ever been. The more I try to simplify it, the worse it gets. But because, you know, you have people living with you, and you got to take care of people. And then Titus came, and I love Titus, by the way, but, man, he's a handful. So things get, but you can still live that life, because there's a place, there's a peace, there's a joy that we have inside that no one can take away. No busyness, no sin, no distractions in the world can take that away from us. I have a peace inside of me that passes all understanding. I have a joy unspeakable and full of glory. I have everything I need now, right now, at this moment. My needs are all met in him. Every emotional need, every financial need, every spiritual need, it's met in him. If you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just ask. The Bible says there's no law to get it. You just ask. Like Lori said, you just ask and you'll get everything you need. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you can pray in your language, and it's easy. It's like falling off a log, because Jesus is doing everything. There's no striving, there's no... I remember back in the day, maybe they still do it, I don't know, I went to this Pentecostal church with a friend of mine, and man, they scared people into getting filled with the Holy Spirit. This girl came down the altar, and they were like, you know, they were... they stayed there for hours and hours and hours, screaming and yelling and tearing, and but they never asked. They just were screaming and yelling. But the Bible says, just ask, and will God give you? If you ask for a bread, will God give you a stone? No. If you ask for, you know, a fish, he's going to give you something else. Whatever you ask for, God's going to give it to you. How much more will he give freely give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Just give it to you. And that's the whole thing I was saying. You sow to the Spirit. In other words, don't sow to your flesh, but sow to the Spirit. And that's part of sowing to the Spirit, is praying in tongues, reading your Bible, going to church. Don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together. Encourage one another in the Lord. Meet often. You know, just pray without ceasing. All those things that the Bible says to do, you can do it by faith. Because Jesus is doing it anyway. So you're not sweating it. You're just doing it. You're praying. You're seeking the Lord with all your heart. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That's who you are. But it's by faith. That's the whole crux of the matter. Nothing looks like the Bible in this world. It just doesn't. But it's true. The Bible's true. Even in my life, I look at my life and go, man, I'm not really looking like the Bible, Jesus. But I'm doing it by faith. Now, this morning I got up and I read my Bible. I did it by faith. I didn't feel like it. I didn't care if I felt like it. What does that even matter if you feel like it? Well, I don't feel like. This morning Titus was all throwing a fit. I don't want to go to church. I don't feel like it. That means nothing. So then when he got here, he jumped out of the car and ran into church before I could even turn the car off. So he was excited, but he didn't want to go. So anyway, so you never know what you want. What you want has nothing to do on being a Christian. What you want, what you feel, what you think has nothing to do with being a Christian. It's this word. And this word is written only so you can know Jesus. It's not written so you could be a pastor or be some religious person, even get rid of your sins. It's so you can know Jesus. That's eternal life. It's to know me. Come to me, all you that are, you know, have all these burdens and you're carrying this heavy burden and you know, you're weighed down by law, you're weighed down by sin, you're weighed down by the cares of this life. You know, you get rid of it, and Jesus just takes all that away from you, all of it. Every single day, cast all your cares on the Lord, all. I think in the Greek, I even looked that up, and it means all. All your cares. If you have a care, Jesus will take care of it. That way you don't have to worry about it. Now, we all have a tendency to worry about things. Well, so-and-so doesn't like me, or I have a relative, a son, a daughter that's not saved. We all have cares, things that we worry about, but you shouldn't worry about anything. There's times, believe it or not, even in your life, where you actually see that, you read that scripture, and you actually have done that. Because Jesus did it in you, and you didn't have a care in this world. That way you could do that every day. Every day you cannot have a care. Doesn't mean you're not human or you don't, you know, have pain and all that kind of thing, but that doesn't matter. Those things are a waste of time to worry about. Things are a waste of time to worry about. You know what you do? And I started doing this a couple years ago is, if I read an article about something, a political article or whatever kind of article it is, then immediately I pray. Or if I see somebody in the street that doesn't look like me, that's, you know, that I wouldn't agree with the way they look or whatever, then I just pray. I cast all my cares on the Lord, all of them. I immediately pray. I mean, right there at that second when I'm driving my car, and I go, Lord, that person, or somebody cuts me off. You know, when I'm driving, I'm kind of an old granny kind of driver. I don't drive very fast, but I'm driving and somebody cuts me off or something, I just pray for them. I say, man, they're probably having an awful day, and God just save them and bless them and help them and whatever the thing is. So that's the way we live our life. Boy, it makes your life way, way better. I'm telling you, it does. That way you don't have to drink alcohol. You don't have to smoke marijuana, even if you go to Colorado. You don't have to do anything. You just cast all your cares on the Lord, and He does everything for you. Isn't this true? He does everything for you, then He does it in you, then He does it through you. But see, people are concerned about the through you part. But look at the for you part first, because that's the foundation of your life. Jesus died for me. Jesus rose again for me. And He ascended into heaven for me. He's seated at the right hand of the Father for me. Well, now He's doing that in me too. Now I'm, oh yeah, well, when He died, I died. When He rose, I rose. When He ascended into heaven, I ascended into heaven. When He seated Himself right there at the right hand of the Father, I'm seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. Now He's working, that's in me, now for through me. That means I can tell others. That means, like that scripture Titus memorized, you know, that go out and proclaim the gospel, the good news to all creatures, Christian, non-Christian, Buddhist, Muslims, Hindus, New Agers. You know, it doesn't matter. You just live your life. And Jesus, when He was on His way, it says when He was on His way to such and such a place, He saw the woman at the well. Or He was always Jesus was always going somewhere and always sees somebody and then He'd minister to him. Because God was always talking to him. He only did whatever the Father said. That's all He did. And that's all we got to do. Now, is it impossible to do? Yes. Like the whole coffee thing I just told you. If you knew how much I love coffee, you would know that was impossible. It was impossible. Even my wife is still very skeptical. Like I said, and so am I. I agree. I say, yeah, I probably won't make it. But I will. Because Jesus was good. Okay, let's read on. Okay, so we're talking about liberty. It says, verse 16, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. If ye be led by the Spirit, then you're not under the law. So the question is not whether you're keeping the law or being good or being evil. The question is, are you being led by the Spirit? Spirit, the Holy Ghost, was given so that He can convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit's time. This is the age of the Gentiles. This is the time, and I believe, like Jim said the other day, the night it happened when Trump won the election, I thought, oh my gosh, Lord, thank you. We got more time. That's all I was praying. Oh God, we just need more time. We just need more time to get ready. I want myself, my family, and all of us, I want us to be ready when Jesus comes back. That we're all, so when He comes back, we'll say, well done. I won't be without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That's all I want. I don't care about anything else in this world. I just want to be, when Jesus comes back, I want to be without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And that's your life too. Is that you want to be that when Jesus comes back. So He'll say, hey, well done, my good and faithful servant. But I know, now the crux of the matter, the hard thing about it is you can't do it. And it's frustrating. I'm telling you, as a Christian, you get frustrated because, well, how do I let Jesus do it or not let Jesus do it? I never even think about that. I just figure God's going to do it, and I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to do my thing. I'm just keep sowing to the Spirit. Just keep sowing to the Spirit. Sow to the Spirit. Sow to the Spirit. Don't sow to your flesh. But you can't do that either. You just let God do it. Just get up and just do everything by faith. The just shall live by faith. Everything is by faith. I read my Bible by faith. I pray by faith. I live my life by faith. It's the only way to do it. Because otherwise I would be totally defeated. And being a good Catholic, as I was. I know the law is not going to do it. If I'm under law, I'm not going to do it. I will immediately hate God. I will hate the law that he gave me to do because I'm not doing it perfect. Have you ever had somebody put pressure on you to do something and you have to get it done at a certain time and you're just under pressure? Well, that's kind of like the law. You're under pressure to be good, to be on time, to be perfect. You know, to love your wife, you know, to love this person. You got to love this person. You got to do this. You got, you know, just too much. You can't do it. But the Bible says, love your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But God can do that easily because he's God. Easily. It is not even a problem for him to do that in you and for you and through you and all that. It's not a problem for him at all. And he wants to do it. It's just you got to get out of the way and let him do it. Stop caring for stuff. Stop doing all that. Cast all your cares on the Lord, all your burdens, all your anxiety, all your fears, all your... There's nothing to be afraid of. What's the worst that could happen to you is you could get killed. I guess that's the worst. I think it's probably pretty awesome. Then you'd go to heaven, or you'd... To die is gain. So, you know, the worst that could happen to you is nothing. Whatever the worst thing the devil can do is nothing. He goes about as a roaring lion, just goes like that to scare you so that you won't have faith. And you'll start sowing to your flesh, worrying, drinking, you know, whatever people do to appease themselves. Well, that's what we do. Watch TV or whatever. We do a lot of things to distract ourselves from reality because we don't want to face reality because we're afraid. But if you face the reality of your life, it's awesome. I'll tell you, it's fun. Because you can say, you can tell God anything. God, not you don't have to tell people all that, but you just got to pour out your heart to the Lord. Lord, this is the way I am. I'm nasty, you know, I hate you, I hate my wife, I hate my kids, I hate life. And you just put all that junk out on the table, and then God just, I don't know how he does it. I still, to this day, I don't know how he does it exactly. But when you pour out your heart to the Lord, then he forgives you for all that. Then he immediately empowers you and gives you joy and peace and everything you need. The most extreme time, that happens to me every day, but the most extreme time that's ever happened to me was when I was working at a church and I was, you know, I just got saved. I quit my job. You know, I was going all in for Jesus, man. I gave all my stuff away. I had nothing. I even gave my shoes away. And, you know, I just, because I read that scripture, you know, when you're a Catholic, you just do stupid stuff. But I thought, oh my gosh, the Bible says Jesus to give all your worldly goods away. So I interpreted it that way. So I gave everything away. I mean, I barely had anything. Right, Larry, remember that? I had some clothes. I had a basketball and I don't know, a few things, but nothing. But anyway, so I gave all my stuff away, and I was trying to work this prosperity thing, you know. Because I didn't know. I thought, well, if you're a Christian, you got to prosper even as your soul prospers, so you ought to have some money. But here I'm making, you know, I was making like $6 an hour or so. I was like poor. You know, I was eating out of the food pantry, right, Larry? I had a really good job before. You know, I was working for the richest people in Texas. What? Yeah, Grandma Cookies, yeah. But anyway, so the thing was just really frustrating. And then this preacher came to visit our church, and he preached on prosperity. Every message was on prosperity. It drove me crazy. But so I was like, okay, God, we're going to have it out right now. This is enough. Enough is enough. So I'm mowing the lawn, and I'm on this hill, and the lawnmower flips over, and man, I let God have it. I mean, I was more than I've ever done in my life, and I cussed a lot. But man, I was mad, and I just let him, man, I just blew up. I mean, you wouldn't believe it. I didn't even believe it. I didn't even care. I was just so frustrated. I thought, man, God, I'm not prospering. And that means my soul's not prospering. And I was cussing him out, and I was just mad, went on and on. And all of a sudden, about 30 minutes, it lasted for a long time, probably 30 minutes. Then about that time, this peace, I came and, you know, I just couldn't explain it. It's this peace and this joy. I knew God did something in my life. And since then, I knew I was taken care of. I knew I didn't have to worry about it. I knew I didn't have to care about whether I was prospering or not prospering, whether my soul was prospering. That was none of my business. That was all God's. And to this day, I still do that. But God, that's none of my business. You take care of that. I'm just going to do what the Bible, I'm going to worship God. I'll praise you, I'll thank you, I'll worship you, I'll pray for my neighbor, I'll pray for my wife, I'll pray, I'll do all that, I read my Bible, but you got to take care of everything else. If you don't, then what good are you? I mean, really. I mean, I was like, well, what good are you, God? If I had to take care of everything myself, then I won't have time to do all that. When am I going to worship you? When am I going to seek you with all my heart? When am I going to love you and worship you and, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and all that? When am I going to do that if I'm always striving and worried and fearful and addicted to this and addicted to that and, you know, and all that stuff? So I said, you got to do it, God. I'm not gonna strive with it anymore. I'm not gonna worry about it or fear about it. And about that time, that was before Leah. Thank God that happened before Leah and I got married. That she would have been in trouble. But anyway, there's always points in your life where God does things like that, where He does dramatic things. You come to a crossroads in your life. And you have to, and then you can't do anything because you're addicted, or you can't even imagine being free from that thing, whatever that thing is in your life. And you have to you come to a crossroads, and you can't. If you turn to the left, or you turn the, if you turn over a new leaf, you know it's not going to work. It never works, at least in my life. If I try to turn over a new leaf, oh, tomorrow I'm going to start exercising, or tomorrow I'm going to go on a diet, or tomorrow I'm going to do this, or that, I'm going to read my Bible more. It just doesn't, that works with my wife, but it does not work with me. I'm telling you, it doesn't. She even looks at me, why don't you just stop doing that? I go, well, I can't. I just can't do it. God's got to do it, or it's not going to get done. So I always come to, and it's so bad because I always come to these points in my life all the time, several times a week or a month or whatever. I come to these crossroads in my life where I have to make these decisions, and I can't because I don't know, you know, I don't know what to do. And God has to show me. If He doesn't show me, then I'm going to do it, and I'll just do it. I'll do whatever it takes by faith, but He's going to have to do it. And God does that. He brings you to a crossroad unless He wants you to give up something. It doesn't necessarily be a sinful thing, but He wants you to give up something or start doing something or not start or do whatever. And you know you can't do it. Like the coffee thing. I knew I couldn't do it. I knew. I mean, I knew it. I just knew it. Because I know me. I'm addicted to coffee, man. I love it. I mean, I have... You used to see my kitchen. I had a coffee drip. I had a pour over thing. I had a coffee press. I had a coffee pot. I had a sign up there that said Danny's Coffee Shop or whatever it says. I can't remember what it says now. What does it say? Yeah, Danny's Coffee Shop. That's just to give you a little idea. And I thought, man, what am I going to do with all that stuff if I give up coffee? Plus, I had, you know, my daughter works at Starbucks, so I get all this free coffee. So I got Komodo Drag. I got all this different kind of coffees, and I'm like, wow, this is awesome. But now it's all for nothing, I mean, I guess. So I'm just like, wow. So if you want to come over to my house, you can have some coffee. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that God only can do it. Even if you did do it, and it wasn't by faith, you're under a law. But see, now I'm not under a law. I don't care. I can go home right now and drink a cup of coffee. Who cares? I'm not under any law. I'm not under anything. I'm free. I'm totally free. But I'm free to do what God wants me to do. I'm free to do good today. I always tell God that every day when I get done with praying. God, I am free now to do good. I'm not free to sow to my... I could sow to my flesh. And I do. All the time. But it never turns out good. But when I sow to my spirit, it always turns out perfect. Always. Sometimes it even looks like it. It turns out perfect. But if I sow to my flesh, then I always reap something. It's natural too. If you eat bad, then you're going to reap something bad in your body. Or if you eat good, you'll eat something good or whatever the thing is. But you can't do it yourself. You just got to trust God that He can do it. And He can do it. But you can't care about it or worry about it or be fearful about it. Don't be afraid for your kids. All you that have kids, probably all of you do in here, because God made a promise. I never, ever worry about my kids. The minute I worry, I always pray. If I'm worried about Anna and David, then I pray for them right there. I mean, right there. I don't care what I'm doing. If I'm at work, my work is kind of that way because I can listen to music or do whatever I want at work. I'm actually working, but I can pray, whatever. And I drive a lot. So when I think about things, if I start feeling myself worrying, I just pray. And then it's gone. Because then I just gave it to Jesus. Because that's His problem. It's not my problem. I mean, well, why would it be my problem? What could I do? I could do something, I guess. I don't know what to do, though. I don't know where to yell at them or preach the gospel. You know, I don't know what to do. If I scare them away or if I draw them to me, I don't know what to do. I never know what to do, hardly ever, which is probably a good thing. Like I said, I'm not that smart or intelligent where I can figure everything out. So you always have to be led by the Spirit. And this is Book of Galatians is saying this. This is totally contrary to the law. Totally. Because you're not under the law anymore. You're under grace. If you're under the law, you are sinning all over the place. If you're under gospel, then you can be free. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Grace has mercy and it has power. Grace is just not like the Calvinists believe. It's actually way more than that. Grace is His mercy, forgiving you of all your sin. His power is empowering you not to sin. So sin won't have dominion. You'll never, never not sin. I will never, never not sin until Jesus comes back. But sin will not control my life. I hate it. I don't know if this is rebellion. I haven't figured it out. I don't even care. Let God figure it out. That's why I have my own business. I don't like people telling me what to do. When I was a little kid, if a teacher told me to do something, I'd do just the opposite. That's why I almost flunked out of first grade. I don't know why I was like that. I guess it's just rebellious. But I always had a fear. Even when I was a little kid, I always had this little inkling of a fear of God. So I restrained myself sometimes to go too far. Even when I was in college, I would only go so far, then I would stop. I would not do drugs. There's certain things I would not do. I just wouldn't do it. I wouldn't go out with the sleep. Whoa. Like if there was a... Maybe I'm lying. No. There's certain things I wouldn't do because I had kind of a fear. But I was still crazy and did stupid stuff. But I had to kind of restrain me because I was under some... I had a kind of a law in me, you know, that I got from my mom in the Catholic Church because they always called me a good Catholic boy. And I knew I never lived up to it, but they thought I did because I was really nice around them. And then I had another life, kind of like Jim did. Hey, you have another life. So anyway, law's never going to do it. You're going to have to learn to just trust in the Lord and lean not upon your own understanding. and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That's just the way you're going to have to do it. There's no other way to do it. I wish there was a better way, an easier way, a more convenient way to go, but there's not. And it's a hard way. It's a narrow path that you have to follow in this life, and it's just being led by the Spirit. And it's so narrow, that it's just Jesus. That's how narrow it is. It's Jesus. That's how, it's just that. One thing. It's that narrow. There's no other way. You're not going to figure this life out. The liberals, the humanists, the New Agers, all the religions in this world aren't going to figure it out. They'll never figure it out because they're doing it in the flesh. You just have to walk in the Spirit. You just have to ask God. He freely gives you all things. How much more? God has already given you Jesus. He died for your sins. How much more will he freely give you all things? All things. It's got to ask him. God, I want joy unspeakable and full of glory today. I want happiness today. Well, he'll give it to you for free. You don't have to even change your circumstances. People think, well, if you change my circumstances, then I'll be happy. You won't. You'll be exactly the way you were before because you won't be free. Because you thought that something besides Jesus would make you happy. Well, if I'm married, I'll be happy. That's not going to make you happy. Now, my marriage, I'm real happy in my marriage. Extremely happy because I don't ever, even Leota, I don't put any pressure on her to do anything. She can get up or not get up. She can lay around all day and do nothing. It doesn't matter to me because I'm going to work. She better get up. No, I'm just kidding. But I never put any pressure on her because I know that I can't keep a law. Why would I put a law on her? Why would I expect something from her when I can't? I don't even expect anything of myself. I expect God to do everything. He's my expectation. I expect God to do everything. And that humbles me because it makes I'm not as great as I thought I was or as awesome as I thought I was. As a matter of fact, the older you get, the less awesome you are. That's why Lori is getting so wise, right? Because you get seasoned and your life kind of beats you up a little bit and you figure, oh man, I don't know. I'm coming to the end of my life. I noticed that people my in-laws, they're living with us, they're in their 90s, but, they can't do a lot of stuff. They can barely leave the house. So they're not, but they're happy. I think they're pretty happy because they know the Lord and everything. So they're pretty happy and peaceful. So when you get old, you learn that, hey, man, this life is nothing. My life is hid with Christ and God. And today, not in the future sometime. Let me read the scripture real quick because it's 12:35. Okay, where was I? Okay, so the flesh, verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You're not going to do the things you want to do. Like Romans chapter 7, Paul said, man, the good I want to do, I don't do. That's me. I love that chapter, by the way. A lot of people don't like it. I love it because it leads to the Holy Spirit doing everything. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I've told you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Who's going to inherit the kingdom of God? Those that are led by the Spirit. So these doing all that stuff's not being led by the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of your sowing to your Spirit, this is what you're going to reap. You're going to reap love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, kindness, meekness, temperance. Against such things there is no law. There's no law. It's not a law. It's a fruit. It's from Jesus. It's not from you. You cannot produce fruit. Jesus does all the fruit. So if Jesus does all the fruit, then why are you stressed out? Why? Either he does it or he doesn't. Either I have love or I don't. Either I'm being led by the Spirit or I'm not being led by the Spirit. This is all black and white. Either I have love, joy, peace, kind, temperance, self-control, faithfulness, virtue, whatever the fruit is, it comes from Jesus. Only. He's the only one that has that fruit. You don't have that fruit. You will never produce that fruit. And you can fake it. But that's just fake. It's just nothing. It can only come from Jesus. And it does. It does. He will do it. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he's faithful to do it. He began a good work in you. He will finish it. But he will finish it. You won't finish it. You are not a finisher. You're not the author and the finisher of your faith. You are not the author and finisher of your faith. You are not. Only Jesus is. He's the author. He started it all. He began a good work in you. He'll finish it. So let him finish it. Don't try to finish your in the flesh. He began the Spirit. Don't go back and try to finish it in the flesh. You'll reap corruption. Even if it looks good, even if you do a good work, it'll only reap corruption. It'll be pride. Remember King Uzziah, was it Uzziah, Norm, that we talked about the other night? I think it was King Uzziah. Remember him? He went to the temple. Was that the right king? He went to the temple to sacrifice. But he was a king. He wasn't a priest. So it was unlawful for him to be there. But this guy, God gave this guy everything. I mean, he had everything. Riches, oh, unbelievable riches. He had an army. He had everything he's ever wanted. But his heart got lifted up in pride. So he thought he was awesome. He goes, I can do this now. I am so awesome. I'm just going to go into the temple and I'm going to burn incense and I'm going to do. And the priests were like, oh, no, don't come in here. And he was mad. He was going to kill him. He was pulling his sword out, and he was about ready to chop up all these priests. I think there was 80 of them. But they were all, so God put leprosy on him. And man, he knew. Ah. So he ran out of the temple. And this guy reigned in Israel for like 52 years. 52 years. But most of that reign was he had to be separated from the people. So his son actually ran the thing because he was in this house, because he's a leper. Lepers are unclean. You can't be around lepers. So he had to be in there that whole time. I don't know if the guy, it doesn't say in the Bible he ever repented or changed his mind, but he was prideful. And he was a good king too. He was one of the gooder kings. He was one of the best, the good guys. But, and that's like us. The moment we do something wonderful or awesome, then we're all lifted up in pride. And you can't fight it. I mean, you can't overcome it. Only through Jesus. You can't fake being humble. I'm sorry. You can't humble yourself. If the Bible says humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will exalt you in due time. You can't humble yourself. Only God can do it. It does say that. Humble yourself. But I never figured out how to do that. If somebody knows how to do that apart from Jesus, let me know. But it's just looking at Jesus. You behold him, you're changed. You behold him, you go from glory to glory. If you look at Jesus, you're humbled. If you see Jesus, you're humbled. Remember, it was at Isaiah, he fell on his face. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. And then he fell on the ground as though dead. That's our lives. That's us. You just fall on the ground, you're dead. You see Jesus, you're just, I'm nothing. He's everything. He's awesome. And he touched, the angel came and touched the coal to his mouth, and he was forgiven of all of his sin. And then he was sent forth. Isn't that us every day? We see Jesus high and lifted up. Then we see our sin, how we're not like that. At least, that's the way it happens with me. I see that I'm not like Jesus at all. Nothing. I'm nothing like him. And then he just gives it to me for free. It humbles me because then I'm like, God, I'm such a you know, I'm not going to make it without you, God. Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to set me free from this bondage of sin? Thank God through Jesus Christ. So he will deliver you every day from the bondage of sin, from whatever's distracting you from the God, from the your relationship with Jesus. He'll deliver you from all that. And you can't do it. I wish we were more awesome than that, but we're not. Jesus is awesome. Christ in you is awesome. As a matter of fact, when the Bible tells you to do something, it's actually talking about the Christ in you doing it. It's not you doing it. It's Christ in you doing it. So God says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That's Christ in you humbling yourself. Jesus humbled himself, became a man. And he had to humble himself that he got rid of all of his stuff, God's stuff. And he had to totally depend on the Holy Spirit, totally depend on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, totally depend on his Father. He only did what his Father did. He only said what his Father said. Jesus totally gave himself over to the Father. Even Jesus said, I don't do any works. It's my Father in me. He's doing all the works. And he humbled himself and died on a cross. And that's us. We humble ourselves so we can die to ourself, not only to our good or our bad stuff that we do, but also to all the good, all the awesome things that we think we are. Just give it to God. He'll take care of it because he's awesome. Humble yourself. Okay, I'm going to finish. I better finish this. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You live there, walk in it by faith. Let us not become desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. You know, envy and strife, if you're envious of somebody, the rich, for instance, or a pastor or something, then that, there's strife and there's every evil work. It's awful. When there's envy and strife, there's jealousy. Now, the Bible says, and just read the book of James, you lust and you have not, you cannot obtain because you ask not. And then there's all kinds of evil work. All kinds. Sexual immorality, injustice. It's awful. Just be happy. Be content with what you have, for God will never leave you or forsake you. Never. That's it. I mean, it's so simple. So I'm totally content with my life, with my church, with everything. I don't care what it looks like or doesn't look like. Who cares? I'm content. And you should be too, content. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in the fault, it talks about restoring all that. Okay, so verse 8, chapter 6 of Galatians. Let's go to verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, of the Spirit will reap everlasting life, or everlasting, life everlasting. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. Don't grow weary. I'm telling you, don't. Just keep going. Don't worry about it. Don't worry if you're sick or you're not sick, or you're smart or not smart, or you're have any gifts, or you think you don't have any gifts, you have gifts, but don't think that you don't have any gifts, you do. Just don't go weary while doing it. Just do the little simple first things first. Here a little, there a little, you just start sowing by faith, because only Jesus is doing it anyway. He sowed everything. Jesus sowed his life, and he's reaping everything. Jesus is reaped. You know, when it says in the Bible that everything's going to go back to the Father. Well, he reaped all that because he sowed Jesus. He's going to reap eternity. He reaped everything. He's going to reap a harvest that you can't even count. It's innumerable harvest. And he reaps it. Jesus reaps everything. And then you get in on it too because he loves you, because you're his son. You're his daughter. So you're going to reap. You're going to reap. You're going to get the inheritance. Everything Jesus sowed, you're going to get. And you didn't even do anything. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. You didn't do anything. You just got it for free. So my only job is just don't grow weary while doing. Just keep doing it. Just keep praying. Just keep reading your Bible. Just keep whatever God tells you to do. Just keep doing it. Even if you don't do it perfect, who cares? You won't do it perfect anyway. I don't do it perfect. Just read your Bible and pray and seek God with all your heart, and you know, then God somehow works everything out. I don't know how He does it. He just does it. Me and Leah look back on our life sometime and we go, man, how did God get us through that? How did He get, I don't know how it even happened. How did that happen? You know, we don't even know how stuff happened. Because we're always doing stupid things. So, anyway, God is good. That's the message for today. Just don't grow weary in well-doing. Sow to your spirit. Don't sow to your flesh. Don't. No, you will. You will. That's okay. God has you covered. Always has you covered. Father, we thank You for Your Word, that Your Word is true, and that everything we reaped in our life, all the good things we reaped in our life, is from Jesus. Even in America, all the things we reaped in America, you know, freedom of religion and all the things it says in the Constitution, that those were all reaped by Jesus, because our forefathers believed in Jesus. So, Father, we thank You for that, and we thank You that You've given us time to get the gospel out, given us time to continue to sanctify us and cause us to be a bride, a church, a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, so that when You come back, You'll have a pure bride. Because that's the goal. That's the end of our faith, is that we marry Jesus. Wow. That's awesome. And Father, we thank You for that. We thank You that we will inherit not at everything in this earth, but when we see Jesus, we'll have everything. We'll inherit all things. And so we thank You for that, and we love You. We praise You today, Father God, that You have delivered everyone here from sin. Deliver us from all of our iniquities, all of our lust and greed, all of our hatred, our fears. Deliver us, Lord. Let those things not rule and reign over our lives. Let sin, Lord, not have dominion over our lives, Lord, so that we could be under grace and not under the law. And so, Lord, we thank You for that, and we love You so much. We praise You and thank You, Jesus, for doing everything for us, in us, and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. I will bless Thee, O Lord.